The first reading is from Genesis 3, 8 to 15. A reading from Genesis. Adam and Eve heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit from the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you've done?" The woman said, "The serpent tricked me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you among all animals and among all wild creatures. Upon your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." The word of the Lord. Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If you were to keep watch over sins, O Lord, who could stand? Yet with you is forgiveness, in order that you may be feared. I wait for you, O Lord. My soul waits. In your word is my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who keep watch for the morning, more than those who keep watch for the morning. O Israel, wait for the Lord. For the Lord there is steadfast love. With the Lord there is plenteous redemption. For the Lord shall redeem Israel from all their sins. The second reading is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 to 5 and 1. A reading from 2 Corinthians. Just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us to you in his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look at not what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. The word of the Lord.
Our gospel reading this morning is from Mark 3, verses 20 to 35. The Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus went home, and the crowd came together again so that Jesus and the disciples could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demons, he casts out demons." And he called them to him and spoke to them in parables, saying, "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly, I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, "He has an unclean spirit." Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brother and sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." The Gospel of our Lord. Before I begin my sermon today, I have a disclaimer to share with you. The words I will speak in this sermon may be difficult to hear. The images may be hard to imagine. I invite you to reach out to me if you would like to talk. I'd also like to note that there is a hymn placed in the middle of our sermon today. Please follow the links to listen to it. The hymn is "Senzeni Na," or "What Have You Done?" We had sang it in Inshallah many, many times. It is an honest lament that speaks and sings to our hearts. Our son Thomas was born on January the 2nd, 1996. A new year had just begun. Greg and I were the proud new parents of a bouncing baby boy. We had no idea what the future would hold for our son, but we were excited at the prospect of watching him grow and learn. In those first few years, we learned a lot. And a few years later, in 1998, Clayton came along. And then Heather completed our family in 2001. Life was good. We watched our children grow. We made some mistakes. But we enjoyed their smiles and laughter and the love that encompassed our lives. I look back on these years and smile at the memories we created and give thanks to God for the opportunity to raise our children in love, in freedom. And I thought of that again this past week, when I heard the news of the mass unnamed and unmarked grave found at the former Kamloops Residential School in BC. The grave was found by a private company using ground-penetrating radar. And the finding of this grave is the first step in acknowledging that a cemetery was placed near a residential school in order to bury the bodies of innocent children. Think about that. In our schools, in our school system, how many cemeteries are placed beside them? And over the past week, I have thought about the parents who have never had a chance to see their children grow, to see their children's smiles and hear their laughter. What have we done? Over the past 2 weeks, we have seen many prayer vigils honoring the dead. Orange shirts and countless pairs of tiny sneakers and moccasins line steps along with teddy bears and notes of love shared. Flags were lowered for 215 hours, and today these innocent children will be remembered in the prayers of congregations across our country. Over 150,000 First Nations, Inuit, and Métis children attended 139 residential schools across Canada from 1831 to 1996. These schools were funded by both federal and provincial governments, and they were run by several Christian churches. These schools, and I say schools lightly, because they were established for one purpose and one purpose only, and that was to take the Indian out of the child. They were established to assimilate Indigenous children into white society, into Western culture. John A. Macdonald reported this to the House of Commons in 1879. When the school is on the reserve, the child lives with its parents, who are savages. He is surrounded by savages. And though he may learn to read and write, his habits and training and mode of thought are Indian. He is simply a savage who can read and write. It has been strongly pressed on myself as the head of the department that Indian children should be withdrawn as much as possible from the parental influence. And the only way to do that would be to put them in central training industrial schools where they will acquire the habits and modes of thought of white men. It became law in 1920 under the Indian Act that all First Nations, Inuit, and Métis children attend these schools. Innocent children from the ages of 4 to 18 were forcefully removed from their homes. They were separated from family. They were forbidden to speak their own languages. They were given numbers in place of their names. They were forced to give up their culture. They were beaten and neglected. They were taken advantage of and made to do hard labor. They were given small amounts of not great food to eat. Everything was taken away from them. Their families, their language, their culture, their identities, their humanity. They were deemed worthless and treated inhumanely by the government and the church. What have we done?